Birthdays are very important to all of us. They're a reminder that we're getting old, and they're also a reminder that Jesus, we're celebrating a birthday. Well, we're not exactly sure if it was the 25th of December. That's disputable, but whatever. We're celebrating it. And it's a very, very important event in our lives. And there's another birthday that we need to celebrate. It's our new birth. I don't think too many of us remember exactly the day when we were born again. I remember where I was driving when it happened, but I don't remember the day. Because nobody wrote that down. So, anyway, this morning I'm going to preach on it's going to be a two-part because it's a long message. I got it at night because I didn't have nothing up till about 4 o'clock this morning. I didn't know I could type that fast. And I did Google my text and found a very interesting guy that had some real gold on this message, really good insight. So I'm going to bring it out as best as I can. This has to do with us building on that foundation. We're all born again. We have that foundation. Nobody's going to move our foundation. It's set. You're set. But there's a but. There are rewards in heaven, and those rewards depend on how you build upon that foundation. So having said that, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open our eyes and our understanding, each one to his own, that they may understand the truth of Scripture on how to apply them to our lives, Father. We came through the power of the Holy Spirit, walk a supernatural walk with you. And I know it's by faith and not by sight. A lot of times we don't see. Most of the time we don't see, but we still feel and know that we're guided by you. So you will touch every life here and everyone that's going to listen to this message on YouTube or wherever they're going to listen to it. You will bless and anoint it, and it will bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. I've preached on this before in not in detail. It's about 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15, out of the King James Version. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, saying, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That's what I was talking about before. That foundation is, once you're born again, it's there. You build upon that. Now it says here, it's talking about how you have the choice on how you're going to build upon that foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Here it mentions all the materials. I'll get into what the materials are later. Every man's work shall be made manifest. That's going to be a judgment seat, the judgment of Christ, where he's going to judge the believers on according to what they have done with the body. Not the salvation is done. That's judged here on earth. That's set. "For that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. So fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So that tells you right here that the foundation, once you become born again, that's a free gift that God has given us. My brother Steve was talking yesterday to his employees about opening that gift that he gives them. If you don't open the gift of $1 million that he gives them and just keeps the check, it doesn't help you nothing. It's not going to... It's useless to you. You have to open that. You have to accept that gift and open it and enjoy it and live in it and the fruit thereof it, to enjoy it. Just receiving the check is really futile. It's useless. Now, building on this foundation, is twofold in meaning. When you are in the perfect will of God and walking in obedience to the call that's been placed in or on your life, that is part of the gold, silver, and precious stone material. So you're now doing what God has called you to do, walking in the Spirit, operating in the Spirit. It means in this life you will have stability when the storms come. Because storms will come. but you will not be shaken. If something comes against you, you will be set. You'll know by the materials that you have used to build upon that foundation, if the storms come, they will not in any way, shape, or form trouble you or knock you over. Jesus attests to that also himself. I'll get into that later. It means in this life you will have stability when the storms of life do come, and at the same time, you're also laying up treasures in heaven that nobody can rob you of. So as we study in 1 Corinthians 3, we shall see what it means to be a wise builder when you become saved. We become partners and co-laborers with God. That is what it means when Paul says, God's fellow workers in verse 9. To be a wise builder, we must examine three aspects of the building that we're building upon. Now we're going to look at the foundation, the building foundation. The building is only as strong as the foundation it's built upon. So if you are into any other religion and it's not Jesus Christ, the storms will come and your house will fall because it is not built upon that solid rock. As it talks about in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 12, there's a shaking coming. Everything will be shaken. Those who are built upon Jesus will not fall because they'll be able to withstand that shaking. So first and foremost, make sure your foundation is Jesus Christ. Paul says that because of God's grace, he is a wise master builder who has laid the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, in verse 10 and 11 of the same chapter. The church is built on Jesus. And again, here is a twofold meaning. It can be referred to as the building of the church, as the body of Christ, by using the gifts of the Spirit and edifying one another and encouraging one another in the Lord. Or to the building up of your personal life with the materials that build good character and also to be a good soldier and steward of the cross of Jesus Christ. So there's a two parts where we're not only doing things for our own peace and mind, we're doing things as the body of Christ. So there's always two parts to us, your personal life and then yours as a part of the body of Christ. We can do nothing apart from the grace of God. Paul says he's laid the foundation, which was Jesus, and we should take heed. Pay attention to this. Take heed how you build on it. So you do have a choice on how you build upon that foundation. However, that foundation is still good. We must take heed in our attitude, what we value as important. This is very important here, what I'm going to read next. How we spend our time, how we read, what we watch, and what we allow to be put into our mind. The friends we hang out with. I remember an old grandma used to say, "Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell who you hang out. Who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are." So it has a lot to do with who you hang out with. Who do you like to hang out with? Is it with God's children, or is it with unbelievers? Where do you feel most comfortable at? That has a telltale on what who you really are. And what we allow to be put into our mind. The friends we hang out with, the words we speak, those are all materials that you are using to build on that solid foundation. Remember, the foundation is still solid. But nonetheless, those are materials that you are using to build upon that foundation, which later on will be tried to see if they'll stand. Now, to build a church or a life on anything else other than Christ, the true foundation, is to build a sandcastle. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, that the house built on the rock withstood the storm, but the house built on the sand, it fell, and great was its fall. In an ancient building, the cornerstone was the main foundation stone, the big stone where all the walls met. The cornerstone held it all together. Guess who that cornerstone was? That was Jesus Christ. Jesus holds it all together. So now we're looking at the building, the construction of the building. In verse 12, Paul says, lists some materials that we can build with. So we can use gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, which was stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stones are lasting, beautiful, and valuable. You have to dig to find them. You have to apply yourself to find them. Constant discipline is needed. But on the other hand, wood, hay, straw are temporary. ordinary, cheap, easy to find. When building your life, build with things that will last and have eternal value. So this, my brothers, concludes the first part of my sermon, because I have the next part is a little bit long that I'll explain on what's going to happen with and how it's going to be proven to us with what we used to build upon that foundation. So be very careful. Take heed on how you're going to build upon that foundation. Make sure that you are in the will of God. That's the ultimate thing that you need to pay attention. And I'll just say an amen to that. I'm going to conclude this message next week. May the Lord bless you.
Everybody's still alive? we're getting there. We're getting to real life. And I would suggest that you listen to James's message, built for the next one. Because that's how you build for the next one, by what he was preaching. So it's interesting how God lays it out for us, and he gives you a free choice. You got a choice on how your status is going to be in heaven. Use gold, silver, precious stones, then you're going to somehow be elevated there. I don't know how it works, but the Bible talks about receiving crowns. And if God wants to give you a crown, I have a feeling it's very important if he tells us that he wants to give us a crown. It's very important. But my message is a little different today than James's. For those who've been paying attention to what's going on in the Middle East, it's becoming a quagmire. Every house in Gaza is a military base, basically surrounded by a big fence. 2 million people live there, and most of them don't like the Jews. They want to kill them all. So how God is going to deal with this, I have no idea. But at the same time, the Russians are getting to show their teeth. I'm kind of excited about that. They're the ones pushing Iran, and Iran is pushing these proxies. And I was wondering to myself the other day, boy, that guy didn't take long for him to show his true colors, if you pay attention. Most people don't understand what's going on. They don't read the Bible. They don't believe in prophecy. But whatever prophecy is written in the Word is going to come true, regardless what. There's such a thing as prophecy given here by us now, but that a lot of time depends on how things go, if it'll come true or not. So, but the written Word, there it stands. But before this all comes to a close, and it will, we'll watch it on TV maybe, there's going to be such a fight. Like if you go into the Old Testament, you're going to see God destroying hundreds of thousands of enemy soldiers with hailstone, with flood, with angels, with even hornets. What's a hornet? A bee going in, a wild wasp going in, killing off whole nations. He's not shy when it comes to that. He tells us like it is, I killed whole nations. For who? For the sake of Israel. Why? because through Israel is where Jesus will come. And Jesus is very, very important to the rest of the world. How important is he? It depends on you whether he's going to be important, because it's through him that you're going to see eternal life. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 1, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit." A spirit speaks to people about the Lord's coming. How many times in the last 10 years or 15 have you heard a preacher go on radio publicly saying Jesus is going to come on this day? The Lord told them. Well, it turned out they were wrong. Jehovah's Witnesses had to change their date of Jesus coming back time and time again, and so did the rest of them. The Bible says nobody knows. It's neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. This has a double meaning of falling away. Some preachers dig into, or theologians, they dig into certain revelations of studying, and they feel the falling away is a misinterpretation. It means taken out. There come a ticking out first, and then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Everybody's afraid of the Antichrist. Don't take that needle, don't take that thing, don't take that mark. No, when it comes to that time, you will be challenged to take the mark, and the Bible teaches they will line up to take the mark. And when you do take that mark, it could be an injection, because it seems like the people that take that mark, that DNA changes. They become full of boils, first of all. They can't die anymore. It says death will flee from them, even though they try to take their own lives. So whatever it is, it's going to be horrific. And then the son of perdition shall be revealed. Watch this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. "Who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Have you heard anybody, regardless how off the track they are, regardless how demonic they are, have you ever heard any of them claim that he is God? You can find a few people that say they're Jesus, but you can't find nobody yet that proclaims he is God. But there's gonna be somebody who's gonna stand up. "I'm God. You pray to me. I am the one that created you." And he's going to be a liar. It's going to be awful how he's going to operate. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. "And now you know that what withhold, that he might be revealed in his time." Now listen to this. The question I always have, when they talk about we're going to go through the tribulation, I ask them a simple question. Are you looking for the Antichrist, or are you looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Bible teach us? It says, looking for that blessed hope. You're not supposed to look for the Antichrist, because we as Christians are never ever going to see him here on this earth. Why? For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. Who's the one? The word letting here means holding back. Different translation will say the one holding him back will hold back until he's taken out of the way. That's like a falling away, a taking out. Who's holding him back? Who can raise his hand right now and say that he's holding back the Antichrist? I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm holding back the Antichrist. Why? The Spirit of the living God lives in me, and he cannot appear until I'm taken out of the way. Because the Spirit in me is what's holding back that evil one that is supposed to come. Hallelujah. So I'm not looking for an Antichrist. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am out of here. Hallelujah. It says, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed. After we're taken out of the way, then shall the Mr. Antichrist be revealed. Isn't that a good story to hear? Hallelujah. For those of you on the internet who are scared, the Antichrist is going to put them in boiling water and then cold water, as I've heard somebody say to me once. I'm scared, I'm not going to be able to take it. Well, you're not going to be here, so don't worry about it. Man, people make worry of stuff. It's like worrying, paying rent or paying interest for money you don't earn, you don't have. How stupid is that? You're worrying about something that's not going to happen to you. And then shall the wicked be revealed. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. There's not going to be a match for God. Him trying to come against God, and the Bible teaches, he's going to set the whole world against him. They're going to turn their weapons against him as he comes with his hundreds of thousands of saints following, or millions of saints following behind him. One guy said to me, there's no enemies in heaven. And I say, when you study the word of God, which is the first animal that comes out of heaven? It's a white horse, hallelujah. I'm going to be riding on a white horse yet. Good thing I love horses. I'm a horse guy. I love them. And they're going to be my companion for the rest of eternity. And then he shall be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. I wonder what gave Jesus the idea to ride on a horse. Majestic, beautiful, hallelujah. He doesn't come in a GM pickup or even a Ford pickup either. Even that, it'd be a better choice, but hey, come on. He picks a horse. He picks a horse. And that thing's going to ride smoothly. So it's going to be awesome. We're going to be there. Imagine a little bit. We're going to be there coming back with him to do what? To clean up this place. Boy, I'm going to enjoy it. I tell you, I can't wait. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And he's going to get on his side all those who are going to perish, who don't believe in righteousness. They don't love the truth. So God's going to give them over to a reprobate mind, where their mind will not even comprehend what's right and what's wrong. They'll line up after the Antichrist like you wouldn't believe. And that's their doom. They're going to spend their eternity in the eternal lake of fire. What a difference between us and them. I'm telling you, it's worth it. If you know on how to turn to Christ, do it today. Turn to that blood for your cleansing. The Bible teaches us there's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. Grab a hold of him and don't let go, because if you grab a hold of him, he'll grab a stronger hold on you, and he's gone. You're going to have to do some jerking. You'll not be able to get away from him. So God loves us, and he's got this awesome, bright future for us. For those who are sick right now, for those who are in trouble, in debt, in whatever problems you have, it's going to go away. I can promise you that. We are heading for a time, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. We're going to live for eternity with joy and peace the way we were meant to. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Why does God damn them who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness? They don't care about God. What is unrighteousness? All you have to do is watch politicians for 10 minutes. You'll see unrighteousness. That's what unrighteousness is. They're false prophets. The news media is feeding you garbage that is not even true. Remember the time when they said that the parking lot and the hospital here in town were packed full? And I put over the airwaves, they're lying to us. We were there. There's nothing there. And one guy said, are you sure they're lying to us? I said, positively sure. That place is empty. Nobody's there. And guess what? It didn't take long for the hierarchy of the radio station to find out. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the tradition that you have been taught, whether by word, the word of God, first of all, or by our epistles. So if our epistles don't match up with the word, disregard them. They have to line up with the word. You see, it says here, whether by word, the word of God, or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which has loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So the word comfort doesn't come up too often in the Bible, but when it talks about Jesus coming back in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, it tells us, comfort yourself one another with these words. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, but comfort you one another. And here again he says, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So dig down. Seek after God. God loves you. I'm not kidding. Oh, you'll make mistakes. I know that. I'm 71 years old. I'm hitting 72 pretty soon. Hallelujah. And guess what? I've made mistakes. But Jesus, the thing about me is this. I'm hidden in Christ, and God doesn't see my mistakes. How do you love that? The other day I was talking to an older fella about knowing everything when we get to heaven. I said, I don't know. The Bible says in the ages to come, he will show us the mysteries of his grace. That's teaching us the mysteries of his grace. I'm looking forward to that. First of all, I'm holy, I'm pure, I'm clean, I'm hidden in Christ. God sees Jesus instead of me, and the awesome education that I'm going to have for the rest of eternity are going to be out of this world. Hallelujah. I'm going to be one of the best students God has. And maybe the Apostle Paul too. Hallelujah. So open your hearts, because God wants to spend time with you. I know once you get sick, it's pretty tough. You have to really push at it. But as you get better, it gets easier and easier. But you know, we shouldn't have any excuse. Every time, all the time, is a good time to communicate with God, whether you're crying to him or praying to him. God accepts both of them. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.